This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, wonderful, hilarious, and over there in Austria wearing a black tank top co-host, Monica. Hello.
Wearing a black tank top, that is true. I had to look down for a second if that was the case, but I actually
I saw myself
and
like, am I? Oh, I am.
I am. How are you doing?
Doing good. Life is life. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? With
you just
a
asked
blue
me
tank
that.
Top.
It's not a blue tank top. It's a blue bra. My tank top is actually green.
Oh.
You will see. Yeah.
I'm not sure if I can identify this on the webcam. Oh, yes, it's green. I see.
It's green.
So everybody just saw some boobs.
Boobs are good. It's a good segue into our conversation today.
That is very true.
Yeah.
We had some issues naming it on Twitch, to be honest, but
we're talking about sex.
We're talking about sex. Yes. We're talking about women and sex.
Sex and feminism.
Sex and feminism. I'm not sure if the current audience is so excited about this, but there we go.
Well, I think it's a pretty exciting topic. And I just want to say, like, publicly, thanks to Frasley for suggesting the topic because... it's a topic.
Well, I'm so far away from the US at the moment. That's why I wasn't aware that this is all going on. Also, I've been working all day, so I have had no idea that the humidity of female body parts is apparently a topic right now on Twitter and in the US.
Yeah. So for anybody that doesn't know, Cardi B has released her first single of 2020, and it's called WAP. Which stands for Wet Ass Pussy. It's a song. It's a very sexual song. And it's a very sexual video. And lo and behold, conservative men are like, nah.
This is appalling. Is
horrible.
What conservative men do. Horrible. Yeah. Horrible is what they said?
They say a lot of things.
Well, they do say a lot of things. They do say a lot of very stupid stuff. Especially when you're called, what's his face? Ben Shapiro.
Shapiro.
I like Shapiro better
Shapiro,
than Shapiro.
Yeah.
The same.
Yeah. But it's not just Ben Shapiro. It's also James P. Bradley, who is a U.S. House candidate. And he said, the new song, WAP, which I heard accidentally, made me want to pour holy water in my ears. And I feel sorry for future girls if this is their role model. Like, since when is a song a national debate? Oh, no. It's when it's about female sexual pleasure that it's a national debate. Because there's nothing more important to talk about right now in America.
No, because the U.S. has no other issues in the world than how humid female body parts get.
Humid? Like this description, Monica.
I just keep calling it that.
Sure.
And also... because it's not the first time that there has been sexual content in any music video ever at all. Oh, right. Those are made by men. So that makes all the difference, right?
Right. Like anytime there's controversial and sexually empowering lyrics coming from Cardi B or Rihanna or Lizzo or I've just lost... Nicki Minaj, thank you, brain, for finally working. It's like, you know, anytime that somebody female is like talking about sex in such a powerful and positive way, it's like, oh, sex is so dirty and wrong. But like Ludacris has an entire song dedicated to all of the different locations that he wants to fuck a woman.
I mean, especially when we get into... He lists them out.
Do you not know it? It's a great song. I know every single word to it.
Well, please go ahead. I want the improvisation of that.
I want to get you in the George Dome on the 50-yard line while the Dirty Birds kick for free. And if you like it in the club, we can do it in the DJ booth or in the back of the VIP with cream with cherries and strawberries on top. Lick it, don't stop. Keep the back door locked. Don't knock while the boat rock. And it continues and continues. Tabletop. The rock to the park to the point to the flatlands.
That is great.
It's an entire song about all of the locations that Ludacris will have sex with you.
I mean, so not with me, thank you.
Well,
that's
fine. Not you, but with a woman, no, with women, yes, with people.
With women, yes. In his case, probably women, but yes.
Probably.
I don't know if people saw, as a bit of a reference, so besides the fact that, like, whoever you mentioned before said he's going to pour holy water in his ear, Ben Shapiro is American, clearly, because that's sometimes one of the most conservative ones, right? But he's a conservative political commentator, media host, and attorney. He writes a column for Creators Syndicate in Newsweek, and he serves as editor-in-chief for The Daily Wire. And he has his own show, which he hosts, which is called The Ben Shapiro Show, which is also a daily political podcast and live radio show. And in this, I think it was in the Ben Shapiro Show, he went ahead and did a, how can you even call that? An impression of the song?
He broke down the lyrics and read them out, but not really. He just kind of, he P-worded them out and F-worded them out, and it was a thing that happened.
And so besides doing all that, where he took the time and the pleasure, let's call it that because I guess that was a bit of it as well, where he was reading through it with a stoic voice, like he was reciting Shakespeare in a way, he then mentioned kind of, how do you say that? I don't know what the word is. In a weird, snarky side comment that this is what feminism fought for. And it's not about being like equal or equally important, but to sing about very humid female body parts. I keep calling it that. I really like that.
it's definitely a very descriptive. I'm not very descriptive. I don't know. What he said
was, you know, it's wet, it's also humid, isn't it?
Yeah. This is what feminists fought for. This is what the feminist movement was all about. And if you say anything differently, it's because you're a misogynist, see?
Yes, exactly. That's what he said.
And then he tweeted and he said, I fully explained on the show that it's misogynistic to question whether graphic descriptions of wet ass P *... is empowering for women. WAP is obviously an incredibly profound statement of women's empowerment, a la Susan B. Anthony.
So then he continues in his tweet to say, as I also discussed on the show, my only real concern is that the women involved, who apparently require a bucket and a mop, get the medical care they require. My doctor's wife.
No, he's saying his wife is a doctor. My doctor wife. My wife who is a doctor.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Her diagnosis is bacterial vaginosis, yeast infection, or
trichomonas.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Don't even know what all that is.
Honestly, that just makes me a little bit sad for his wife. Like, oh, I never get wet. And any woman that does get wet actually has a problem. And I'm like,
What I generally want to throw in there for everybody listening, however it looks down there, is your concern and not anybody else's concern. So it's not necessary to I don't know, sit on a towel and hope it never ends if that's not what's happening for you, or the squirting and all that stuff.
So I'm just laughing at you saying squirting. It was great. Keep it up.
So, because I also do think that sometimes there is the high pressure of, oh my God, there's something wrong with me because I'm not, I don't know, I don't ejaculate out of my hoo-ha like men do out of their peen, right? So I guess that's just something that we also just need to consider, that it's not, we're not leveling up the bar as it is, but oh my God, if that's the only issue, why you can't get wet because you have a yeast infection, and it's just a very pathetic excuse for women who enjoy and who do have a very soggy bottom. That's moist.
Well,
thanks, Monica.
Well, you didn't approve my humid female body parts. So there we go. That's where we ended up now.
Wow. Yep. I like this other quote that somebody is attributing to Ben Shapiro, is that the female orgasm is a lie by liberal Democrats.
I read that too. That made me laugh as well. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he also went on the record to say that the only time his doctor wife has ever gotten wet is when she has an infection, not affection. And let's say this, I share this information with the entire world for some reason. And it's like, okay, so you've literally just told the entire world that you never get your wife wet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I mean, in general, it's still not about, it's not really even about all of this, isn't it? Because what it is about is that a man comes over when a woman writes something super sexual, and if you watch the video, she's owning it, right? And it's Cardi B. Cardi B just doesn't give a flying fuck about anything. And in generally super sexual, like, probably. And rapping also, we have to look at the genre as well. Rapping in general is like a super sexualized industry, part of the music industry, right? Where besides often violence and all that, also sexualization of women in during rap videos, especially when it comes from male rappers, is also intense all the time, right? And now there comes this woman along, owns that shit, owns it in her industry, and celebrates her sexuality like this. A guy comes along and questions it all of a sudden, because why? It's your concern, is it?
Well, I mean, as we know, it's not okay for women to express themselves, women to feel empowerment in their sexuality. We've been, you know, conditioned for years that enjoying sex as a woman is totally not okay. It's shameful to get any kind of pleasure from sex. And it's actually something that we're talking about in my spiritual group right now, all about how we need, there's so much to unpack with like how we've been brought up in terms of sexuality, and like, because it is so shameful. And there is this huge movement right now of bringing sexuality and femininity into its own, and like finding empowerment in orgasms, empowerment in owning your sexuality, and like just like womb healings. And like there's a lot of woo in it, but there's also a lot of pleasure to be had, not even just on a spiritual side. Like, sexuality is super empowering, and it always has been through history. And it's only this movement of, I don't know, like we keep talking about this like Western movement of patriarchy that is really shutting women down. Whereas like female sexuality was always so empowering for like ever in history, up until recently.
Up until recently, you mean when?
Like when... what's the word I'm looking for? The Industrial Revolution, and when it was better for women to be seen and not heard and all this bullshit. It's like, okay, but what about all the years in ancient Greece where actually like women were encouraged to be sexual beings, and men like respected women's sexual empowerment, and like whores were some of the most well-respected and professions out there? And
I do see, because there are a lot of comments in the chat this time already as well. I do see also there is a huge connection between the church and how sex is viewed in general. Because as Tom Turtle said in chat, men and women shouldn't have sex for pleasure, just for protection, for example. So those are all things where, especially when you grow up in a religious society, which like especially with Christians. With Christianity around you in one way or the other, it's just something that is always connected to shame in general, and especially for women. I once found this weird, we have a super weird church somewhere on the mountain up there, who had a really, really conservative priest there. And they had booklets there about how to raise a boy and how to raise a girl. And if you read that, you want to actually throw up in your mouth, because it's so, the things that they give, want to give, want to, I don't know, tell their own children about how they should do and how they should treat life and all that is just super, super painful. And it has nothing to do with celebrating who you are, owning who you are and love yourself. It's always about that shame that you carry with you. And it's just, and the real contradictory view of like when men have a lot of women, they are the players and they're awesome and they can wear it like a badge of honor, but when women do the same, they're automatically, I don't know, whores and
sluts, whatever. And the slut shaming and
yeah,
like it's so unacceptable for a woman to have had multiple partners, but it's almost expected of men to.
Mm-hmm.
And like Fazley says in the chat that the ridicule men get for being virgins is horrific. Like there's films made about like the 40-year-old virgin, like, and it's funny. They're like, oh my God, that man's 40 and he's a virgin. Like, ha ha ha, we got to fix that. And it's like, you know,
you don't have to fix anyone. It's every person's decision how they live their life. And if they don't, I don't know, for some people, sex is more than just popping the wheelie in and popping it out again. So, or not no interest in it at all, so that doesn't make anyone less of a person because they have no interest in that,
for sure. And I'm just going to read out what Syl says in chat. She says, but there is still such a difference in how disconnected it is how men and women view sexuality. Just look at online dating. Most men don't hesitate to send a certain D pic, but women don't go around and send pics of their intimate parts after just saying hi in a message. Why is there that difference in the genders? Is it because girls get taught to be ashamed of their sexuality? I mean, that's a question. I think there's a lot to unpack with that. Like, and a lot of it is about shame, I think. But then a lot of it is possibly the behavior of men as well.
Mm.
And the, like, if somebody gets a dick pic sent to them and they show a friend, like, the man's probably most likely going to be like, meh, they showed my dick. Whereas, like, a woman sends a picture and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, did you see so-and-so is naked? And, like, the picture goes around and then it's just, like, even more, it's more shameful. Just want to clarify, this is not my opinion. It's more shameful for a woman to send a naked picture than it is for a man, from society's point of view, and it gets all shared around. And
I would go a step further with that in general, because I do think that there is a certain fear that fear that women have as to what men can do to them, which is also, I think, something where they're more careful and cautious about what they do, because you never know what can happen. Like, because of the kind of culture that we live in a way, like with what we talked about with white fragility, where it's just this subconscious awareness or not awareness of something specific. And I do think there is this subconscious fear from women towards men to a certain degree. Not that everybody, not that all men or any man or like every man they meet on the street would automatically become a perpetrator or assault them in any way. But I do think that there is this certain subconscious fear of women towards men about what they could do to them, which I think also makes them more cautious and more careful about what they put out there. And that's something that I don't think men go around with, which is also why I think that, I guess, in gay culture it works differently. So if you send a dick pic, it's not automatically a threat if you get one, whereas if you send a dick pic to a woman, it is more perceived as such.
Yes, and that's what I was saying, but I said it very badly.
No, you didn't say it very badly.
Okay, cool.
You talk more about the shame.
Yeah.
In that, and because that's also, I do think, also something that, because there is no proper, like, I didn't have any of that. Like, there is no proper education on anything regarding sexuality when you grow up. Like, your parents don't really tell you, because of, I mean, my mother would have been 70 last year ago, so last year, and my dad is 74 this year, so they grew up in a whole different era, right? So my mom used to tell my cousin, and that's only something that my cousin told me after my mother had passed away, that my mother told her that sometimes she was lending her hoo-ha to her dad because to my dad because she wanted it, right? And that's just a subconscious belief that she also carried around. That's something that she practiced. And I do not think that I got taught by my parents anything regarding a good, healthy sexual behavior and relationship, especially not as a woman. And I didn't get anything like that in school. So nobody really gets raised in a, for, a, or gets, I don't know, prepared for what sexuality means, how to have pleasurable sexual experiences. You don't do that in school. You pop a condom on a banana and that's it, if ever. And only now, and also because I also did a training like that about, can you get more workshops where you talk more about what forms of sexuality are out there, what is good for you, masturbation is great, and all stuff like that. So that's just getting rid of the taboo that is all covered all over sexuality in general. And we all have not really, up to a certain age, have not had any reference point for that, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I agree with everything that you said. And then circling it back around to music, I think that like WAP isn't unique. I mean, it's unique in how explicit it is, I think, for a female rapper. Like, because it's a pretty explicit song, but that like it's only shocking, quotes on the word shocking, because it's come from a woman and it hasn't come from a man. And it's like such a positive representation of female empowerment. But like Pink has songs about masturbation. Rihanna has a song about S&M. Which I have a funny story about, actually. Back when I was working in catering at a nursing home, one of the women that I worked with, she was older, and she was very, very devout Christian. And anytime S&M came on the radio, she was just like really rocking out to S&M and was like singing it. And I was like, okay. And I was like having a little laugh to myself because it was really contradictory. So one day I was like, hey, this woman's name, do you know what the song is about? And she was like, no, I don't. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, it's about sex, right? And she was like, and I was like, it literally is like sex in the air. It's like she says sex. You keep saying sex when you're singing, and you didn't know it was about sex. And she was like, I had no idea. Anyways,
what?
She was just so scandalized that this song was about like dirty sex. She was like, nope.
That is hilarious. Even though she kept singing it, it's great. I mean, I understand when it's not your native language, right? And you start to, especially when kids start to sing some dirty stuff that they don't understand. Or, I mean, I guess it also happens to me that I sing stuff where I'm then late, like, what did that even mean? But when you're native and you, or pretend you don't know, or didn't know what you heard, it's just a bit pathetic as well, isn't it?
It was hilarious.
What song does Pink have about masturbation?
It's a song, and it's about like it's just you and your hand tonight, and it's like about masturbation. I can't remember what one it is. I can look it up.
I know that song, but isn't she singing about someone, a guy? That's at least what I thought. I can hear it in my head. I was fine before.
I'm not here for your entertainment. You don't really want to mess with me today. Just stop and take a second. I was fine before you walked into my life because you know it's over before it began. Keep your drink. Just give me the money. It's just you in your hand tonight. Okay, yeah. Sorry, I thought
it's more like you fuck off. You're alone tonight.
Yeah. Okay. There's another one somewhere. There's a lot of songs out there. And like every time one of these like sexually empowering songs comes out from a woman, there's like this huge blow up, like, oh my god, this woman's empowered by her sexuality, blah blah. And yeah,
and that's the thing, right? Like nobody goes out there and makes a video about, and I mean at the very end you can still decide whether or not you like the intensity of the sexuality in the song, because we had that other discussion about the nudity in streaming and all that. And I think you can still decide if that's for you or if it's not for you. But especially in that regard, I you see it. If you compare male rappers to female rappers, then all Cardi B did now in that moment is talking about, because all other, like other rappers are just as vulgar, right? They're just as vulgar. They're not only vulgar very often, they're also borderline assaulting in songs and assaulting women in songs and in their songs. And hardly anyone ever questions that, or it's just like it's a form of art and all that. But now that Cardi B comes along and owns that and celebrates her own sexuality in the song, now it's this huge issue. And the issue is, again, you can or cannot like the song if you want to, and if that's too much for you, then it's too much for you, because some find modesty empowering, some find nudity empowering, and that's all okay, right? But in that special regard, if you take those two comparisons, it's just clear why it's misogynistic now that you go ahead and talk about a song that, yes, it's vulgar, but also there have been other rap songs that have been just as vulgar, and nobody gave a flying fuck about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, yeah, yeah. Okay. So I'm trying to formulate this thought here. I think just in regards to like women talking about their sexuality, like it's not a new thing. Like it's been happening in popular music for years, and it's been happening like even like, let's talk about second wave feminism. Like that was a huge surge in female sexuality and female sexual empowerment. And mm-hmm. like a super celebrated and famous speaker and poet, Maya Angelou, the lyrics to Still I Rise, or like the words in Still I Rise, one of her most famous poems, it actually says like, does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Like, she is literally like that.
Maya Angelou is great.
She's amazing. And she's like, out of the huts of history's shame, I rise up from a past that's rooted in pain. I rise. Like she is like, whew, that is some beautiful words. And like, I'm sure that that caused just as much like craziness and like shame on women for talking about their bits like that in the 70s. Like that's horrible. And it's the same thing is happening now.
I think what we need to add in that setting as well is that Maya Angelou is a black woman, because it's black women are even more sexualized than white women are. So for Maya Angelou to write something sexual in the 70s is like, I don't even find the comparison right now. Yeah. It's just like the epiphany of revolutionary act in the 70s, basically.
Yeah. Basically, it's like any time that a woman wants to be sex positive or empowered with her sexuality or even talk about sex, it's like there's always going to be some controversy. Syl brings up a great point about the vagina monologues being hugely controversial in the 90s. And so, like, yeah, I think they were super controversial then, but that doesn't mean they're any less controversial now. And I'm like, it just seems like we're having the same arguments over and over and over again, because all these conservative men just, and it's not actually solely men. There's many conservative women who don't want women to rise up in their power. Just pushing back on anything that just empowers the women's sexuality.
I have two things. Number one, that's again another great example of you do not have to need this for your, like, that is not just because Cardi B is doing this doesn't mean that you need to implement the same thing for your life, but that does mean that Cardi B can't celebrate her sexuality like this. So that's again this duality situation where it's like, yes, you must not 100% agree probably, but that doesn't mean that the celebration of herself and the celebration of her own, of owning it and of celebrating and of having fun and of enjoying her life is not something good that we need as women in general. And I need an explanation what the vagina monologues are, please.
So the vagina monologues, Eve Ensler, I wanted to say Ed Ensler, and I was like, I know that's not right. So just look it up, Amanda. it's a play with a whole bunch of different scenes. And each one is about like a different way to empower the vagina, empower women to feel more confident mm-hmm. with their vaginas, with their sexuality. And it was huge at the time, like when it came, when it premiered in 1996, like, and that was 24 years ago. And it's performed amateur all over the world. It's still performed, like, I think on Broadway or off Broadway, like all over the world still. Like, it's a very popular thing. And each scene is a different way in which women get up on stage and they talk about how they've felt shamed for the vagina, or how they've really learned to love their sexuality, or how, like, and like their transitions. It's just like, it's an open expression of women's sexuality. And it is something to, if you don't watch it, it's something to read. I read it first, and then I saw it in university. Our women's center put on the play, and then I saw it again a few years ago in Belfast. And like, every time I see it, it's just such a powerful expression of female sexuality that it's amazing, and everybody should see it. It's just wonderful.
They totally passed me by, but probably also because, yeah, passed me by. Period.
Yeah, so would recommend, for sure.
Nice. And
Dennis brings up about Margaret Cho as well, who's a stand-up comedian famous for her sexual content. And yeah, Margaret Cho is awesome. I couldn't name what she does now, but I watched a lot of her in high school. She was a fantastic comedian, just really groundbreaking in what she talks about up on stage. Like, there's people out there, there's women out here doing the work, normalizing female sexuality, but then there's all these other people pushing it down as shameful and horrible. And
I mean, I do think Seal mentioned in chat that it seems like it's 24 years ago when it premiered, so the vagina monologues, and it seems like we hardly moved forward. I'm not sure if I totally agree with the fact that it's 20, that nothing has changed since 24 years. I think we see more and more, series that celebrate sexuality more, like Sex Education, for example, and I can't think of anything else right now, but I do think that's already revolutionary. I mean, I got thrown off the thing here, right? So I do think that it's just we're on in that transition period, and then I guess, like we've talked about in a few previous episodes, it's not that it just seems like we haven't gone very far there, but it's a marathon and it's not a sprint. Like, it's probably not up to us to finish the race, but we need to find people who can do that for us and like continue to doing the work, basically.
Syl also says, like, I think she agrees, but it's a quarter of a century and it still feels like there are so many taboo, so many things are taboo to talk about when it comes to sexuality. And it's true, but
yeah,
I think it's much more accepted now than it used to be. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I think if this Cardi B song came out in the 90s, it would have, like, I don't think it would have come out in the 90s.
No, I don't think so as well.
So yeah, while there was some more sexually explicit songs that have come out in the 90s, then it's like, this probably wouldn't have been okay. Like, it would have been a huge, like, way bigger scandal than it was now. And, like,
I mean, it's literally just one, like, a few guys talking shit about the song. And honestly, the reception that I've, like, I didn't go to Twitter and read all the crap, because, I mean, you can find everything horrible on Twitter. But there wasn't really, when I was Googling it, there wasn't really a lot of newspapers covering it. And the ones that did cover it, they weren't really like, oh my God, look at the horrible song that Cardi B wrote. It was more like, are we really talking about this? Look at you being an idiot kind of situation. And in the 90s, that would not have been the case. It wouldn't have. So, yeah.
Exactly. Like, I heard about this song because I'm super not into music. No, that's not wrong. If music didn't come out in the 90s, I probably don't know it. So I was talking to Monica before we did this show, and I was like, you know, I don't know if I can do this episode because I don't know who Cardi B is. Like, I hear this name, Cardi B, and I know she's a rapper, but, like, I don't know who she is. And Monica's like, I don't either. And then she sends me a part of her Wikipedia and she's like, she's the most celebrated female rapper of our time. And I was like,
yeah, we're too old for this.
Like, I'm going to make it my mission to listen to, like, all of Cardi B's music now, because I feel like I owe it to her and female. And
to be fair, you probably know a few.
I think
we would know a few if I come across one, but yeah. I couldn't be able to pinpoint it right now.
For sure.
But I mean,
but yeah, the point that I was trying to make, sorry, before I went off on that tangent, I'm like, actually, who she is I just kept seeing on Instagram, like, all these posts, like, talking about WAP and how this is an amazing song and what does WAP stand for? And people are, like, posting it. It's about like, women against patriarchy and, like, yeah, listening to the lyrics. And I'm like, yeah, okay. It's, yeah, it's about sex, but it's also women against patriarchy. Like, this song totally
is. Yeah.
And then I just, you also see on Instagram, like, people posting bits of the video with, like, Ben Shapiro's face, like, in parts of it, like, just totally memeing the shit out of him. And I'm like, I also don't know who Ben Shapiro is. Like, so yeah. I kind of, this song was totally, like, and controversy and everything was on my peripheral. But because I'm so out of touch with, like, this, I don't know what's going on here. I'm just kind of like, I should probably look at this at some point. So thanks, Fazley, for the push to actually look into this.
Yeah, thanks for bringing this up.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, we do think it's great. Make of the song what you want, but it's a great feminist move. And Shapiro does need to bring his wife in to justify how humid or not humid female body parts need to be and are.
And if she's a doctor, she should probably understand a little bit of how female sexuality actually works and that the wetness is a good thing.
Yeah. The end. There is nothing more to add.
Yeah. That's that's what we have for you on this week's episode of Geek Herring. Hope you enjoyed it. Please leave us a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Tell us about how much you like the show, because that'd be great.
And see you again on another amazing episode next week.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at DragonPoweredStudio.com.